RNZ Pacific News. Good afternoon. I'm Christina Parsico. Samoa's Ministry of Health has just released its latest dengue fever numbers. 34 new cases were recorded in the week from April 15th to 21st. This brings the total cases reported since November last year to 250. People aged 60 years and over make up a majority of the current cases. A politics professor says pressure from SEDALPA, the kingmaker party in Fiji's coalition government, led to Prime Minister Sitiveni Rambuka reinstating the education minister. In January, Mr. Rambuka stripped Asere Rondrodro, his former son-in-law, of his education portfolio for insubordination and disobedience. 3 months on, and the Prime Minister has walked back on his decision and reinstated Mr. Rondrodro. Professor Vijay Naidu says while the PM stood firm in his initial decision to sack Mr. Rondrodro, it did not sit well with his coalition partners.
The management board of SEDALPA had given the Prime Minister an ultimatum, you know, to reinstate Rondrodro as Minister for Education, ask William Ngwoka to step down, or else, you know. Clearly, there were some backroom negotiations and further discussions.
An ocean scientist says new data reveals it's possible to achieve a goal of zero plastic pollution by 2040. 175 nations have agreed to develop a legally binding agreement on plastic pollution by 2024. Project scientist at the Benioff Ocean Science Laboratory, Neil Nathan, is in Ottawa, Canada, on the sidelines of the negotiations, hoping to sway delegates to adopt some of their recommended policies backed by their scientific findings.
That it's actually possible for us to achieve this goal of getting to zero plastic pollution by 2040. So that sort of lit a fire for us where once we then realized, you know, we need to make sure that delegates, make sure that countries who are considering their positions on such a treaty are aware of this. They're aware of what the best and latest science is saying on the matter.
The treaty is expected to be finalised in late 2024 in Busan, Korea. New Zealand has invested $28 million towards a laboratory in Noumea to study the effects of climate change on tuna populations. Tuna holds significant value in the Pacific region, supporting over 26,000 jobs and generating nearly $1 billion in export revenue annually. Operated by the SPC, the Genomics and Otolith Laboratory will conduct analytical work. Jenny Marcroft, Parliamentary Undersecretary to the Minister for Oceans and Fisheries, says understanding how tuna populations react to climate change will allow for more effective fisheries management. And meanwhile, the Pacific Islands Forum Fisheries Agency says the latest MOU with the US provides an important platform in many other areas. The Memorandum of Understanding allows US purse seine fleets to fish in the exclusive economic zones of 18 Pacific nations and territories. The agreement includes an annual $60 million payment by the US government for 10 years. Forum Fisheries Agency Director General Dr. Manu Tuparusan describes the deal as an enduring partnership.
It's not just about the fishing activities. It's all those important aspects around it to, for example, combat illegal fishing, protect the fishery, to manage and develop the fishery. So we're very excited about this continued work with the United States.
Hong Kong Airlines is resuming flights to Saipan after a five-year hiatus caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. 292 passengers will be touching down on the Northern Marianas capital on April 29th. The Marianas Variety reports it will be a twice-weekly service, with discussions already underway to increase flight frequency due to demand. The first 3 weeks' worth of flights have already sold out. Christopher Conception from the Marianas Visitors Authority says Saipan is the airline's first foray into the Pacific and opens the door for the Asian tourist market. In Aotearoa, New Zealand, marketing experts say vape manufacturers will find loopholes in new regulations. Disposable vapes will be banned by the end of this year as part of the coalition government's crackdown on youth vaping. Here's our political reporter, Annika Smith.
Academics RNZ has spoken to say the ban is taking too long and manufacturers will find other ways of selling cheap vapes to young people. Professor of Public Health at Otago University, Janet Hook, says reusable vapes are already being sold at similar prices to disposable ones. She says it's inconsistent with the spirit of vape regulation that's supposed to make single-use products less available and affordable. Associate Health Minister Casey Costello says industry workarounds highlight the need for a comprehensive review of the regulations and an effective enforcement regime.
Also in Aotearoa, Porirua residents are shocked that the overnight doctor at the local accident and medical centre could be replaced by a telehealth service. Health New Zealand says it's continuing to explore all options for delivering overnight healthcare to Porirua within the resources available. However, one local says the bigger problem is that Porirua and the Kapiti Coast are a long way from any emergency department.
I think there should be an emergency department in this part of the region. The fact that there isn't one and that emergencies have to get themselves into Wellington and often through their own means.
The man says many people in Porirua don't have access to a car and ambulance services are also under pressure. In world news, former movie producer Harvey Weinstein's rape conviction in New York has been overturned by the state's appeals court, the ABC's Barbara Miller reports.
The Me Too movement's landmark conviction has been overturned with a majority decision that the disgraced movie producer Harvey Weinstein did not receive a fair trial. The New York Court of Appeals has found prosecutors were wrong to let women testify whose accusations were not part of the charges he faced. A retrial is now possible. Weinstein will not, however, be released in the meantime, as he's also serving time after being found guilty of rape and other sexual offences in a separate case in California.
Haiti's Prime Minister Ariel Henry has resigned and a transitional council has begun running the country, which is suffering from a wave of deadly gang violence. The new body is tasked with organising elections and restoring order to Haiti. The BBC's Will Grant has more details.
It has taken weeks since the outgoing Prime Minister Ariel Henry announced his resignation for Haiti to first choose and now swear in a new transitional council. When it finally took place, the venue had to be changed at the last minute. With gunfire and fighting taking place near the National Palace, the ceremony was moved to the Prime Minister's office instead. Inside, all nine members of the transitional council, seven of whom will have voting powers, were sworn in. Mr. Henry's outgoing cabinet chose the former finance minister, Michel Patrick Boisvert, to act as interim prime minister until the formation of a new government.
In sport, Vanuatu has created history at the ICC Women's T20 World Cup qualifier in Abu Dhabi, defeating Zimbabwe in their opening match. The Ni Vanuatuans won by 6 wickets after chasing down Zimbabwe's 61 runs with 21 balls to spare. This is their first win against a full-member International Cricket Council team. Vanuatu will meet the Netherlands in their next game. Vanuatu's UNV club side has kept their hopes alive of making the final at the OFC Futsal Men's Champions League after a come-from-behind 3-2 win over Suva. But OFC media says the result means UNV FC still need to win their final group game against Tonga's Vitongo FC. Suva FC are also still in the running despite the defeat, but will have to beat both Mataks FC from Solomon Islands and local side ASPTT to make the final. ASPTT and Mataks FC remain unbeaten after Thursday's clash between the two ended in a 1-1 draw. Games continue today. And Fijian swimmer Patricia Veribasaga has claimed 2 silver medals at the Oceania Swimming Championships in Australia. She won a silver medal in the women's 200-metre individual medley on Thursday. Her first silver was in the women's 4x100-metres freestyle competition on Wednesday. Fiji also won a silver in the women's 200-metre breaststroke and a bronze medal in the men's 4x100-metres freestyle medley. That's the latest news and sport from RNZ Pacific. For more on our stories, head to our website, rnzi.com. www.thepublic.com.